Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In Christ Jesus, who endured whipping and humiliation for us, dear fellow redeemed, the towel and the water. We think of Jesus washing the disciples' feet, a lesson on cleansing. We need to be cleansed from the spots, the stains, the filth of our sins in thought, word, and deed. And we've been cleansed by Jesus' shed blood, His blood given on the cross. The rooster and the tears. We think of Peter, his denying even knowing the Lord because he relied upon himself, his courage, his strength, his faith. And the tears that he shed when he was led to repentance. A lesson on steadfastness. We need to be in Christ. We need to have a firm hold upon Jesus and be established in Christ and His Word so we confess Him to the end. This morning we have two more Lenten objects. We have a miniature crown of thorns. That was a little more realistic up on the cross there. The enemies of Jesus wove together some thorns into a crown and didn't just place it lightly on his head. They crushed it into his skull and then pounded it in with sticks so that his forehead bled. And the whip. This is a miniature whip. The whip that Jesus had, of course, was some leather straps. At the end of it were tied bits of bone or metal, so that when they whipped the back of the person, the bone and the metal would tear into the skin and rip it raw. Jesus endured the whipping, the crown of thorns, for us. And that's our lesson for this morning. A lesson on endurance. Let's rise as we read our first sermon text, John 19, verses 1 through 6. So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged, that is, whipped him. And the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe. And they said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they struck him with their hands. Pilate then went out again and said to them, "Behold, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." Therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." You may be seated. Faced with a restless crowd, Pilate subjects Jesus to the abuse of the soldiers, hoping that that would satisfy their bloodthirst. Yet Jesus whipped with 39 lashes. The judgment was 40 lashes minus one. His back was ripped to bloody pulp. He had them put this crown of thorns on his head. Then they dressed him up in purple robes. Mockingly they said, "Hail, King of the Jews." To appease the crowd, Jesus allowed this torture to take place. Did it help? The bloodthirsty crowd would have no mercy on this poor rabbi who had dared to say that he was the Messiah. He was the chosen one of God who was sent to be their Savior, the Son of God. Pilate brought Jesus out and he said, "Here is the man. Look at him." And when the people looked at him, what did they see? What a pitiable sight. They saw Jesus, whose face no doubt was black and blue and swollen from being punched and slapped. His head matted with blood on his hair, and dripping down to his eyes. Here's the man, Pilate says. This is the man that you brought before me, accused of him wanting to be king. Here's the man that you're making all this fuss about. Here's the one you want executed. Isn't this enough? Now we're told the Jewish chief priests and the scribes, millions of people inside crying out, "No, crucify him! Crucify him!" And Jesus endured it all. There's another lesson on endurance that we have for this morning. Ever hear the story of the distracted dog? The dog who was chasing the squirrel almost caught the squirrel, and he saw a cat, so he chased the cat. Almost caught the cat, he suddenly saw a rabbit, chased the rabbit. Almost caught the rabbit, and he saw a rat. So he chased the rat, and the rat ran down a rat hole, and the dog lay there exhausted, barking down the rat hole. Moral of the story, keep your eyes focused on your goal, or you'll get nothing. This dog was distracted by everything that came his way. Ended up with nothing. No squirrel, no cat, no rabbit, not even a rat. And I'm sure the author of the Hebrews didn't know the story about the distracted dog. And yet in our second text this morning, he applies this same lesson to us. To keep our eyes focused upon the goal and to endure in our race for life. And so we read from our second text this morning, Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a crowd of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls." In chapter 11 of this letter to the Hebrews, the author lists many of the Old Testament heroes of faith. He speaks of such people as Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses, Gideon, Samuel, David, and many of the other prophets who have been killed in service to the Lord. And then he begins chapter 12 with these words, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses." And the picture is like we're in this big auditorium. And we're on the floor of the auditorium, and there in the stands are all the Old Testament heroes of faith. All those who already ran their race, who already had been faithful unto death. And we're seeing them all up there in the stands. The Bible heroes that we've learned about since we were little kids in Sunday school, they ran their race. They endured. Now we're running ours. How are you running your race? Are we enduring? The first encouragement and advice that we're given is to run as lean and as light as possible. The heavier we weigh, the more clothes we have on, the slower we'll run, and the quicker we'll tire out. You don't run a marathon with a heavy coat and those heavy steel-toed work boots. You don't run a marathon 200 pounds overweight. And exactly what our author of the Hebrews says here. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. When we allow one temptation after another to weigh us down, the pleasures and the sinful pleasures of this life, it slows us down from running our race. It wears us out. Until finally, we just can't run anymore. We take our eyes off the goal of eternal life. As we run our race, we need to ask ourselves, "Well, am I doing this weighing me down? Well, am I doing this distract me from the goal? Well, am I doing this tire me out?" It doesn't have to even be a simple thing. We know that sinful things, of course, will weigh us down, tie us down spiritually, distract us. But sometimes even non-sinful things can distract us from the goal or weigh us down as we run the race of life. This race of life needs endurance. Whether that word means patience or perseverance. Effort and work goes into running this race of life. The goal of eternal life has already been earned by Jesus Christ. He ran that race for us. He already went to the cross. He already earned eternal life. But glorying it, enjoying its blessings, come to us only after our race has been run, after our life has been lived. And Christ says he's the beginning of the race, and he's the end of the race. He's the author of our faith, having sent the Holy Spirit to create faith in our hearts. And he's the fulfillment of our faith. He's the one to whom we look. So we're told, let's fix our eyes upon Jesus. The past saints who surround us are there as incentives to us. They're examples of others who went through trials and tribulations and temptations and sufferings, and they endured. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, they reached the finish line. But they aren't there to give us strength. We don't look to them for power, just like we don't look to each other. If we look to each other, what would we do? Well, first of all, we'd probably be complacent because, well, I'm way ahead of you, so I don't need to run so fast. Or we despair because you're far ahead of me. And what's the use of running? We look to Jesus, the only one who can give us the strength and the power to continue to run this race of life. Fix our eyes upon Jesus. That means looking to his word, looking to what the Lord tells us Jesus has done for us, and all those promises of forgiveness and life and salvation that God makes to us in his word. That's what Jesus did when he endured the whip, the crown of thorns. We're told that he endured all the agonies of suffering and death and hell and did it with joy. How in the world could he do it with joy? Our text tells us, for the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Why and how did Jesus endure the mockery, the spitting, the whipping, the beating, the crucifixion, being separated from his Father? He had a loving purpose. The joy of redeeming, of saving all of mankind. Every time that whip would cut deeply into his back, every time that crown of thorns was pushed deeper and deeper into his head, Jesus thought about his Father's words. No doubt he thought about John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. No doubt he thought about many of those Old Testament passages that he was fulfilling, those prophecies that he was fulfilling by his suffering, like Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, by his being whipped, we are healed. Maybe you thought of this passage. For the transgression of my people, he was stricken. You make his soul an offering for sin. Jesus said to his Father in John 17:4, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Our text this morning is going to be heard by you in two Wednesdays from now. Two Wednesdays from now in our Lenten service, in our Passion, Savior Passion History, we're going to hear Pilate bringing this beaten, bloodied Jesus and have him stand before the Jewish people and say, here's the man. Haven't I done enough? How could Jesus do that? When he just cried, stop, I can't take it, I've had enough. It's because he had his mind and his eyes focused upon all the promises that God gives to us in his word. The promises of forgiveness that he was earning for all of mankind. The promise that eternal life would be given to all those who believed in him as his Lord and, as their Lord and Savior. His eyes were focused upon the real outcome, the goal of his suffering and death. That's redemption, everlasting life, salvation for all people in this world. And therein lies a lesson on endurance. Now, people and historians today characterize our modern day society as kind of a wimpy one. Wants what's easiest, what's fastest for us. Society that's not willing to work really, really hard for things that last long. Kind of an entitlement society. Is that true? Well, in many ways it is. And our government kind of fosters that, encourages that kind of idea as well. We've got middle-aged workers that don't want to work very hard, but they expect all the benefits. Some young people want to start out best-paying jobs, highest level. Or at the drop of the hat, they'll quit. And how about you and me? How's our endurance? How long do we keep at something? Exercise programs, our diets, working hard at jobs, our study. When the going gets tough, do we stop going? When the going gets tough, do we quit? Well, as we run this, our race for life, we're buffeted, we're beaten down by trials, temptations, worries, grief, sickness, temptations of this life. We can endure them only by looking to Jesus. And that's why the author, again, in our text says, "For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul." Our race of life demands our devotion. It demands our full attention, our full and active participation. Or we too will be distracted, weighed down, become weary, uncaring, and maybe even drop out of this race altogether. That word for endure means patience or perseverance. Literally, it means holding out under stress, not slowing down or stopping for any reason. As you know, this race of life is not a 50-yard dash. It's a marathon. It's a lifelong thing. The Lord didn't say, "Be faithful for a while and I'll give you a crown of life." Be faithful until death and you receive a crown of life. Yes, there are all those heroes of faith surrounding us. But what about the ones who aren't there? What about King Saul, who started out so well? A faithful, humble king who wanted to do nothing but serve the Lord. And pride took over and crushed him. Well, Judas, a faithful disciple of Jesus, followed his Lord. Pride, or covetousness and greed, filled his heart. And he stopped running the race. And I'm sure that there's many of you who know people that at one time stood before the Lord, confessed their faith, were confirmed in the church, said they were believing in Christ, who now have dropped out of the race, no longer running for the goal of eternal life, with their eyes focused upon Jesus and his word. The Apostle Paul writes in Philippians 3, "Finally, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what was behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things." The Lord Jesus Christ has set all of us on this track of the faith of life. Some, from the time we were baptized as little babies. Others, maybe as young people or adults. He, through the Holy Spirit, called you to faith. called you to give yourself for Him, even as He gave Himself totally for you. And now He says, keep your eyes focused upon Me, upon My words. When your feet feel like lead, and you think you can't take one more step, when your heart feels as heavy as your legs feel, your soul's ready to give up, you can't one more step, it's especially when you need to look to Jesus Christ. Look to His promises. Look to His sacrifice. Look to His forgiving love. The promise that He gave to the Apostle Paul, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Jesus has gone where we are now going. And Jesus now is where we someday will be. From Him comes not only the example for us to follow, but the power, the strength to give us the ability to quicken our pace, strengthen our stride, to keep on running for Him. And when we fall into sin, He's there to pick us up, dust us off, wash us clean, and set us back on the track to keep on running with the goal of everlasting life. And Jesus fixed in our eyes. Make use of that word. Come to hear consistently here in church. Study it in Sunday school and Bible class. Read it daily in your homes. Think about your baptism. Come consistently to the Lord's Supper. And meditate on this lesson of the crown of thorns and the whip that Jesus endured for you and for me. May the object lessons of the crown of thorns and the whip lead us to remember and be reminded of endurance. Jesus endured it all for our salvation. And He'll give you and me the strength to be able to endure our race for life while focusing upon Jesus. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.